you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
It's still cold in Winnipeg, but the Winterruption Festival is a great reason to leave the house. Produced by the West End Cultural Center in partnership with Real Love Winnipeg, the festival has some amazing shows happening this spring. And Witch Police Radio has tickets. Stay glued to our social media to see how you can win tickets for a series of great shows at XQ's Cafe and Lounge, featuring amazing local artists like Bobby Dove, El Leon and the Strangers, Joe Curtis, Ala Barker, The Noble Thieves, Two Crows for Comfort, Riel, and more. For more information including artist bios, concert schedules, and ticket links, check out the Winterruption website at www.winterruptionwpg.ca or find all of their events on Facebook.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Witch Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. As many of you know, kind of because there's no shows, shows are starting to come back, but at the moment, shows are kind of few and far between. And one of the main ways that I have been sort of trying to find new local bands or local, Winnipeg-ish bands, I guess, bands that have connections to the local community, has been just like scouring the internet. And one area that's been pretty fruitful lately has been just going to Bandcamp, typing in Winnipeg, and just getting this massive list of stuff that comes across. A lot of it is not for me. Because Bandcamp is so easy to put your music on, there's a lot of weird stuff that I'm not into. But then every once in a while, I find bands that I really like. And the guests on this episode are one of those bands. And so I think the best way to start this off is if the three of you who are here want to introduce yourselves and what you do in the band, and then we can take it from there, just so listeners can put a name to the voice.
Sure. I'm John Perfetti, mostly guitar, but a lot of the effects that you hear on the songs, 99% of that is me as well. Also grabbed some weird instruments on the first record. So we got some kalimba.
Cool.
I can't remember what else we use now. I think xylophone. I think I played xylophone at one point. But also most of the general, like the kind of framework of the start of the songs, most of that comes from me, and I bring it to the group and we put it all together.
Okay, cool.
Hi, I'm Alan. I'm the vocalist for the band. I just joined last year, so I really only have one song from the past record on there. But yeah, so I sing and I also help recording here in Winnipeg. So we do it in our basement. So kind of help out with that. And
cool.
Yeah.
I'm Jess. I play bass, and rumor has it once in a while I might do a gang vocal here and there. But that's about it.
I can confirm that the rumor is true.
The rumor is true. And who are we missing? How many other members are there that aren't here today?
Just Justin, our drummer.
Okay.
Wasn't able to attend tonight. Yeah.
Okay. And so like I was telling you, before we started, I have both of the tapes you have out now. I really like them. I found you by accident and I ordered the tapes because I really dug it. And so I have a lot of questions for you about the music itself, but just to kind of get a grasp on how this works, you're not all in Winnipeg right now.
No, I'm in Ontario.
So how does that work? How are you in a band with people in Winnipeg when you're, a province over?
Absolutely. So I'm born and raised in Toronto. I lived in Winnipeg. I went out to where I met Justin, our drummer, actually was way back in 2007. We attended Brandon University in the music program.
Okay.
So he's taking a bass degree. I took classical guitar. That's how we connected. So we've been friends for a long, long time. And then after I was done with school, we located to Winnipeg, found a job, relationships, all that kind of stuff. And you know, I was flying between Toronto and Winnipeg so often. And I mean, I'm sure I don't have to tell you about the cost of living difference between Winnipeg and Toronto. And I really grew to like Winnipeg. You know, I really enjoyed it. I met lots of great people, like really dug the kind of grassroots, you know, music scene that's out there. And, you know, everybody, like there's a real fiber of like, you know, what are you into is really important to people. And I really connected with that. And I loved the vibe at concerts in Winnipeg. Like, Toronto concerts are not the same at all. People in Winnipeg, like the vibe there is so appreciative and excited when anyone comes through the town.
Yeah.
And I never get anyone that big time. Like, I remember, like, I went to, we all, like, a bunch of us went to see Iron Maiden in like 2009. I think it was the first time they'd been to Winnipeg in like, I don't even know how long.
Yeah.
That was probably the most electric concert experience I've ever been to. And I've been to, I don't even know, enough concerts for a lifetime. But anyway, yeah. So 2019, right before the pandemic hit, you know, just family reasons, work reasons, whatever, it just made sense to kind of relocate back here, which is like a fortunate thing with like the pandemic and everything that happened, but not a fortunate thing because I was supposed to be in Winnipeg every couple months, keep the band going, all of that. So, I mean, like probably every band through the pandemic, we had to, you know, adapt. So Alan was a huge part of that, you know, being able to record in two different locations. I taught myself how to do home recording. I'd never had any experience with that before. Our former vocalist, you know, really helped with a lot of that process when we did our first record. So, you know, it's been a learning experience. That's part of the reason why it's taken us some time to get the next release together, which, you know, we should have out sometime this year. But yeah, that's kind of how it works. And I mean, once, you know, things normalize, which we're kind of, you know, cross fingers, knock on wood, kind of hitting that spot where, you know,
we've said it a few times now over the past some of the year pre-pandemic happen, life. So,
some of the pre-pandemic life at least coming back. And so I'm slated actually to go to Winnipeg in June for the first time in over 2 years, which is, you know, I can't wait for. So we'll definitely connect and get in a room and, you know, put some tunes, you know, bang some tunes out together, which has been a long, long time coming. And then from there, like, I'll make my way over every so often. And then hopefully, you know, we can kind of start to gig and perform in both locations and, you know, eventually maybe do a Canadian tour, maybe like some of the northern states, stuff like that. But
yeah,
for now, you know, just get together, play music together. We haven't been able to do it in a long time. That's our big MO right now.
Well, and I think you're not alone in that either. Like you said, one of the things that's come up so many times doing this show, you know, over the past 2 years, every episode someone talks about the pandemic and how it's affected their ability to even get together and rehearse and do anything. I mean, not let alone shows. A lot of bands, absolutely, you know, have not had a chance to even write anything because of the way they do it. So I mean, maybe guess for the other two of you, what has this been like, sort of not only having a band member who's in Ontario, but just the idea that you haven't been able to presumably get together and practice and work on some of this new stuff, especially since you have a new member. Newish member.
Yeah, we actually, all four of us have never played in a room together.
Oh, wow.
Ever. So it's just kind of really strange. It's a lot of working through a Google Drive and just through the DAW. But yeah, the three of us, like Jess, me and Justin, have recorded together. And yeah.
That is weird to think that you've been a band for at least a year now, right? And with this lineup, and you haven't been to, but it makes sense because no one can do anything. So
yeah,
are there ever concerns that, like, because of the not only the physical distance between a few of you, but just this whole situation we've been going through, that you have wanted to call it quits, or was it always the goal to just get through this however you can and keep going with the band?
I'm not one to quit on things, so I'm pretty stubborn, even if it does like take me a while to get things done. But yeah, never crossed my mind, honestly. Yeah, I really like what we do, even if it has never been in a physical space before. Like, yeah, and I'm really excited for the new direction that we're kind of going in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I have a question that I hate asking and everyone hates answering, but I feel like I need to... people want to kind of file bands away in their head in certain categories. And I mean, the problem with that nowadays is there's so many subgenres of subgenres of subgenres and everything, something core, something neo. There's so many little names. But if someone you haven't seen in a while hears you're in a band and you want to give them like the quick Coles Notes version of like, this is what we sound like, how do you define it? Because I mean, you know, I have ideas listening to it, but what do you call it to other people?
I'm going to jump in. Yeah, that's been a tricky one because, you know, I mean, especially in the metal space, it's such an interesting space because, number one, to me, one of the things I love about, you know, the metal genre and all of the various subgenres is just that it's so deep. And if you want to pull in, like, you know, we need a polka beat here. I mean, how many, I don't know if you listen to a lot of black metal, but you can pull a lot of black metal bands that hit a polka beat pretty hard, pretty regularly. And it's great. You know, there's like bands who throw in funk, they throw in space rock, there's noise, there's like anything is on the table. And I love that about it. Right. And so that's when it gets difficult to categorize. But I mean, I think it's very apparent that black metal is probably the foundation that we base the sound on.
Okay.
Certainly when Justin and I sort of formed the band, and then, you know, Jess joined after that, and our old vocalist Drew was the last to kind of connect with us on it, and now Alan. And so, you know, a lot of material was written when Jess and Drew initially joined. And certainly, you know, in Elan's world, all this material has been written and has existed prior to them coming into the band.
Right.
So yeah, like definitely black metal's in there. I really feel that, you know, the noise piece speaks for itself. Like there's the four instrumental noise pieces on the new material. That certainly is a thread that continues.
Cool.
But I don't want to pigeonhole it. I mean, I think there is definitely, you can hear some influence of, you know, hardcore. I know like Justin is a huge proponent. Like he loves like crust punk, D beat, you know, hardcore stuff. But I mean, Justin is an encyclopedia of music. I mean, he listens to everything and anything. You know, he can go from Bad Brains to Beyonce in two moves.
Yeah.
And that's just in the Bees. So yeah, I mean, talking about, you know, it's hard because you're asking about what you've heard, and there's, I don't even know at this point, I think we've got, I last count, another 20, 25 songs in the pipeline. I certainly didn't struggle with writing and creativity in the pandemic. It was actually a really big escape to get through the pandemic the lockdown. So I was turning up material probably at an annoying pace. You know, I mean, Jess can probably flash back to, hey, I wrote this, what do you think? Hey, I wrote this, what do you think? Hey, here's a new song. Hey, I recorded this. Hey, what do you think of this? So we probably have enough material just on that stuff alone to get through another, I don't know, 3-4 records. And there's definitely stuff that's more punk leaning. If you listen to the live cassette, there's a couple songs there that we didn't put on the record that are certainly more sort of in the kind of punk hardcore kind of space. Certainly like I grew up on like 90s alternative. So some of the newer material, like, you know, like I was like the kid in grade 6 when everyone was into nu metal and Eminem. Like I was like coming to school with a Kurt Cobain t-shirt on. And so, you know, there's definitely a bit of a 90s alternative grunge vibe to some of that stuff. You know, I know Alan connects a lot to sort of like goth rock and stuff like that. And I love a lot of that stuff as well. So there's certainly some of that breathing new material. We've got some doom influences on some of the new stuff. There's like a part that I had to analyze really critically because I was worried I was ripping off an Iron Maiden riff, but I went to Justin, who was an encyclopedia of Iron Maiden riffs, and he confirmed it's not an Iron Maiden riff. So really anything and anything's on the table. And I mean, but like, listen to, you know, what's the, I'm forgetting the name of my own song, A Sentiment in the Air. There's a funk section in that song.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard for me to categorize. Like, you tell people black metal and they get a vision of what that means pretty quickly.
They're expecting corpse paint and everything, and they have,
That's right. And, you know, and I'm kind of, I really want to be the proponent of, you don't have to be, you know, Darkthrone existed. Darkthrone existed 30 years ago. They still exist today. Darkthrone is killer at being Darkthrone.
Right.
We don't need another band that wants to be Dark Throne, right? Dark Clone is a thing for a reason. So, I mean, you know, I think you don't have to look a certain way to play black metal or hardcore or whatever. And I think if you looked at the four of us, like, you know, we're cut from different cloths, from different walks of life.
Yeah.
But we're open, right? We're open. We you know, accept each other and we support each other. And that's kind of the big thing for us, I think, is just, we make music. We like music. Yeah, it's kind of heavy, but we've also been working on some acoustic tracks too. Like we just, you know, what does Eulogist do? We make music. That's it. Right.
I think that it's funny because whenever I ask anyone that question, whether it's you know, a metal band or like a rapper or a folk singer or whatever, they I mean, I'm just labeling them now, but they all have the same answer. Yeah, I make music, we make stuff we like, which is, I think, the right answer, regardless of what kind of thing you're doing. But yeah, it's so hard now because everyone, and I'm one of them too. Yeah. I want to file everyone away in my head and say, oh, this is a black metal band, or this is a doom band, or you know, this is a punk band. But it's hard for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
with that tape that you were talking about, the live tape, that's kind of an unusual thing to do in the first place for an independent band to put out a live album. I mean, usually there are some great live albums out there, but it usually has this kind of stigma of being this thing that to fill out a record deal for some, you know, high profile band trying to get out of what they're the deal with the label. So why a live album? I mean, it's unusual. It's cool, but what was the reasoning behind it?
That's a great question. You know, we talked about it quite a bit, and like when I threw the idea out there, it certainly wasn't everybody was into it immediately kind of thing. But you know, we like our old singer Drew, he set up a bunch of things to record that show, and we're really fortunate that he did that. And we just listened back to the tape, and as you know, I was sort of midst of pandemic and longing for that kind of thing. I found myself going back to it, and I was going, you know, this isn't half bad. I mean, granted, the recording quality is what it is. It's certainly raw.
But you warn about that on the tape. In the liner notes, it explains that it's not produced. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're proud of that. But one of the things I think in the indie metal or the underground metal, whatever you want to call it, especially black metal, and I'm not slandering this because I love a lot of these bands, but like the Bedroom Projects, the one-man bands or the one-person bands, whatever, which all that stuff is great. I love all that stuff. But at the same time, like I love live music. I think music is in its most purest state when a live format, a live setting. And, you know, there's a lot of things on the record that could sound like, oh, you did that in a studio.
Right.
And it was really important, I think, to show that, no, we can do this live. And we put stuff on our songs that we can recreate with the members that we have. And that's the thing. I loved the energy of that concert. And we all agreed on that. So we couldn't put out any new music given that, you know, Drew was sort of on his way out and we weren't sure about, you know, we didn't have a land tap just yet. And we wanted to put more material out to sort of bridge the gap between what I anticipated might be a longer window than I would have liked it to be.
Right.
So, yeah. And you know, that was it. It was sort of a fly by the seat of our pants thing, but I think we're pretty happy with how it turned out.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense. So you have, you have those two tapes out, the one recorded one and then the live one. And now you're obviously moving into like a different kind of sound. I mean, I'm sure the core sound remains the same, but you have a different vocalist and you know, the lineup changes usually create some kind of a shift. I guess what is the major difference? Obviously, aside from just the vocals being different, I mean, what has changing the lineup done to the sound? Has it improved it? What kind of effect has it had on the overall sound of the band? And that's for whoever wants to.
Jesse, Len?
Honestly, I've kind of tried to go for even harsher vocals than on the previous tapes.
Okay.
But then at the same time, incorporating a lot of clean parts. So just kind of adding a lot of different contrasts with different vocal stylings. And yeah, I only just learned how to do harsh vocals when joining the band.
Oh,
so,
really? Okay.
Yeah, that was like a really long learning experience, but super rewarding. And yeah, I'm just proud of that. And
to chime in, you wouldn't know from listening to, I mean, you know, obviously the song that's on Spotify with them on vocals, but you know, I've had the privilege of hearing, you know, the demos for the new stuff. And I mean, yeah, the vocals stand toe to toe with people been doing, you know, harsh vocals for a long, long time. And you know, I think one of the things I like about there's a freshness to their approach with the harsh vocals that I really, really appreciate because it's playing with the style of it. And what drew me to approach Alan to take part in it was I was just aware of their ability to sing, and I've seen them perform and take on some pretty meaty vocal parts with a wide array of you know styles from you know some of the dream pop stuff to you know, classic heavy metal you know and being able to go into sort of the more you know gruffer punk aesthetic vocal but also you know just soaring highs and all that kind of thing and the ability to project. And I mean Drew was an awesome vocalist, but Drew was not a trained singer. He definitely you know killed it with. I mean, we loved the vocals he did, and like his harsh vocals were excellent. But you know, didn't have quite the resume of other you know areas to tap into. And Alan, you know, there's way more variety to what we can you know take out of them to put into our sound. So it's really exciting.
Cool. I noticed that, Jess, you haven't had a chance to say anything. I don't know if you want to chime into this. I don't know if it's because everyone else is talking too much or if you don't, but...
How does the new material sound, Jess? Like, what is your impression of it?
Dare I say, it's a little heavier, but it's proggier too, and I'm super into it.
Is that intentional?
It's different.
Or is it just kind of naturally how it worked out?
It's just kind of how it's been since we started recording these new songs, but they're definitely more not as... let me think of how I'm going to word this, because that was going to sound bad. it's like more, it keeps you on your toes. There's parts to it that I'm like, wasn't expecting that to come from us, but I'm super into it. I'd say it's quite heavy, and you're going to love it. That's all I'm going to say.
Cool. When you say proggy, do you mean more
Jess
technical?
Jess has stepped into our marketing role, apparently.
I was going to say, do you mean, when you say it's proggier, do you mean it's just more technical or even maybe longer, like kind of...
just more sections,
okay.
Songs with a varying... like tempo feel.
Okay.
Kind of the songs within songs thing.
Yeah.
I mean, characterize. So, I mean, a lot of the new music, like, especially given our distance now, the way we used to write, be Justin and I in a rehearsal room, I'd come with riffs, parts, ideas, and him and I would sort of put it together and go, this is a rough framework for a song. Then we sort of bring, you know, Jess in, work out the bass parts, and then the vocals would come after we have a fully formed sort of instrumental arrangement, which we would obviously, you know, we do tweak at that point based on what the vocalist wants to do.
Yeah.
But all of this stuff has been largely, you know, written pandemic in, you know, my old apartment or my place now, and or was written kind of before, because I had a lot of new songs, you know, prior to the end of 2019. And then, of course, you know, I moved and then we took a bit of a beat there.
We'll be right back.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the intention was to just explore, like, what else can we do within the confines of this sort of like black metal foundation? Certainly, you know, and we get into some pretty weird, like, I have a background in, you know, like free jazz and stuff like that. Cool. So just wanted some stuff that's a little more atonal, maybe even like, you know, Jess is a huge fan of like jam bands and Fish and stuff like that. So just some stuff that, you know, allowed some more space to breathe.
Yeah.
Admittedly, what's coming out on our newest record is, I think, some of our heaviest ideas, but there's a wealth after that that's going into, you know, again, different spaces. We've sort of always fallen in the trap of longer songs. One of the working titles of one of the new songs is Less Than Five, because I wrote something that's a song that's less than 5 minutes.
Right.
and I don't apparently do that very often, so I wanted to call attention to it. But so, I mean, it's really not intentional. I mean, I think the gist of the approach that I take when I'm putting together at least my parts, and when Justin and I are in a room together or what have you, is how do we just make whatever this is like the best it can be? And is this something we would listen to? Because if I, like, I'm playing guitar and I write some parts or whatever, and they're not something I would myself listen to, or I don't get that, I don't know how to describe it, there's just like a feeling that takes hold. Yeah. And I go like, this is, I don't want to say worthy, but this is usable. Then, you know, then we're doing it right. We're on the right track. And that's going to evolve as we evolve as people, as musicians. Our tastes are going to change and adapt and evolve and all that. And, you know, we'll continue to just follow that, because that's genuine. And, you know, we don't have commercial pressures. We're not, yeah. There's no label telling us what to do. There's no marketing or PR other than Jess, you know, pushing the marketing agenda, but there's no one else, you know, barking at that. So we can really kind of walk to the beat of our own drum. And that's, I think that's important, and that hopefully people want to connect to that and follow along and see where we go, for sure. Because again, I mean, I know lots of people who present and, you know, they look the part of like, they listen to nothing but metal.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talked about their tastes and they, you know, they all over the place, right? I mean, I think generally it's a space for people who just love music to love music, right? And I think to like metal, you have to love music, because
right.
there's a barrier point to entry, right?
For sure, yeah. And the harsher it gets, the higher that barrier point. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Do you have a tentative idea of when this new stuff's going to be released? I know you have the one single that's out now.
That has been dependent on my work situation, which has just been resolved. Okay. So I'm hoping everything will be recorded by the summer, and then maybe like a fall release, but this is not official.
Right, of course.
Yeah, this is all kind of tentative, but yeah, I think I have like 4 out of 5 songs written, and then and 2 that are almost done recorded. So
oh, cool.
Not too far off.
And we've got 2 instrumentals on top of that as well. So, I mean, I think we've made some good progress, but again, like I haven't wanted to rush, you know, Elan's process, because it's important that, you know, they get comfortable and they feel good about their parts. And I just want to give credence and respect to the fact that it is an odd way to put together your first record with a new band and in a new project space. So, you know, it's taken more time than I think we initially thought. I mean, we've talked about deadlines and passed them a few times now, but at the end of the day, it's not worth sacrificing the quality of the material. So, I mean, it'll take as long as it takes, but I think we're both pretty comfortable to say that before the end of the year, the new music will be out there for sure. And we're excited for people to hear it. Like, I feel really, really good about the material, and I think I speak for us all when I say that.
Absolutely. cool. Yeah.
Are you as like someone who's old and set in his ways? I appreciate the fact that you put this on tape. You know, I never stopped listening to tapes since I was, you know, since the early 90s, and I still have all my tapes from all these years. So it's always nice. And I know metal is a genre where tapes have always been kind of the format, right? I mean, I know that, you know, other things come and go, but that's always been sort of the standard. Are you planning on releasing cassette for the next one as well?
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. Cassette and CD guaranteed. I mean, vinyl is something we definitely aspire to do. And I think, I'm sure you hear this a lot, like just that the cost barrier to vinyl is pretty prohibitive.
And the time too. You have to wait for such a long time to even get it done. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, like it's definitely in the works and in the back of my mind. And I've sort of tested the waters on, you know, pricing and timelines and that. And I think what I'd like to do is, you know, once we've got the new one out and we've got that out in CD and cassette and all that, then we'll look at maybe how do we do a pressing of both on vinyl and get that out there. Cause I know, like, you know, I mean, vinyl is, you know, that's what most people want to buy these days. Because even when I was, you know, selling the CDs and the cassettes to people, like I got so many emails or messages through Bandcamp or even friends and family members being like, yeah, I'll buy it when there's vinyl, you know, so.
They need to buy it when it's CD so you can afford the vinyl, right? You
need to... See, that's the thing people miss. Yeah. But also Bandcamp has a great program now that you can like kind of fund your vinyl release through them. So, I mean, that's something we could certainly entertain taking advantage of too. I mean, Justin, I don't know if you know this, but Justin's also a drummer in Soul Spirit, if you're familiar.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's nice to connect with him because, I mean, he can kind of speak to how they put their stuff out and they've done some really nice stuff with their vinyl, their last record. They put on some really beautiful variants and stuff like that. And they use the Bandcamp program. So check it out if you haven't heard the new Soul Spirit album. There's some marketing.
There's more marketing. Yeah.
Bye.
So if someone is hearing you for the first time on this show and they want to hear more of your stuff, what's the best way to find you? I mean, I know these tapes are out there. Not that people can see this, but tapes are out there. They can hear the clacking. Where would you send them? What's sort of your best suggestion for where people can find your music?
I mean, if you want to buy anything physical, Bandcamp, we've still got cassettes. We're running low on the self-titled. We've got some live cassettes left. Self-titled CDs, we've got a good, I don't think a ton, but we've got some left for sure. And I mean, once we start to see, you know, once we start to get closer to selling out, we'll be pressed for sure. We've been lucky that some labels in the States have been putting out our stuff now. So that's, you know, not too hard to get represses done. But, you know, Bandcamp to buy stuff, or if you want to buy digital, you can. But we're on all major streaming services. You can get us on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, whatever Deezer is. I think it's more European, but we're on that too. YouTube, we're there as well. So, I mean, our stuff's pretty accessible.
And then if someone wants to find out about, you know, potential upcoming shows and things, you know, because this being a podcast, someone could hear it this week, or they could hear it a year from now. And maybe, you know, you got more shows happening by then, hopefully, right?
Absolutely.
So what's the best way to track you down online that way?
Right now, Instagram seems to be where we get the most traction. So we put everything that goes on with us, you know, whether it's recording updates, shows, et cetera, on Instagram. We do have a URL domain that I do have. I haven't built the website yet just because there hasn't been enough activity really to do it. Right. But it's on the plate for a little bit in the future. So we should hopefully have, you know, we have eulogist.ca. I may spring for eulogist.com. I haven't decided yet, but eulogist.ca for sure will be a thing. And we do have a Facebook page, which we do update, not as often as Instagram, but we are on Facebook as well.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome.